Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Israel Gutierrez, dropping a country album in a couple of months. That over there is Pablo Torre, and that's Sarah Spain. Let's do this questionable thing.
Are you starting to think that Tom Brady could actually play past the age of 45?
I know that a lot has happened between the last Super Bowl and this Super Bowl, but this Super Bowl is this Sunday, if you didn't remember that. And if you need a little bit of a refresher, the most shocking statistic you will hear throughout this Super Bowl, regardless of what Tyreek Hill does in the first half, is that Tom Brady is 43 years old. Okay, this man is not only 43 years old and playing NFL football and playing in a Super Bowl, he looks like he's 25 years old, okay? And what's most shocking to me, and he says he wants to play past 45. He said it during Super Bowl media time, guys, and he said he's still considering it. And while looking at this season, you would say to yourself, why wouldn't he be able to play past 45? But then you look at the rest of the league, and I see this type of quarterback basically going extinct, the person who cannot move, the immobile quarterback. Let me give you a statistic on Tom Brady, guys. His average per rush this year, 0.2 yards. I drew that out for you, okay? That's this long, okay? He could just extend the ball past the line of scrimmage with his arm every single time and average more than he did this season. And yet somehow he's doing this. So, of course, he can play past 45. It doesn't matter. The laws of physics, the laws of time don't apply to him.
You guys must think I'm really stupid, huh? Do I look? Don't answer that, actually. I'm not going to finish the question. Here's the thing. You want me, after all that I've seen over the last two decades, to decide whether Tom Brady can keep playing after a specific age that we arbitrarily named based on other people's inability to play after that age? Absolutely not. I am out of the betting against Tom Brady game. I am still sometimes in the betting against the team that Tom Brady is on if it's a reasonable assessment that the other team will be better. But I am never, again, going to be in the betting against the individual that is Tom Brady game. If he wants to keep playing till he's 50, cool. Go for it. One of the interesting things about his ability to keep playing well beyond what we all imagine is physically possible in that sport is that I think what it does is it makes us look at ourselves and say, is there anything we care enough about to do the things required to keep doing it after everybody else can no longer do it? And most of us have to answer no. We are not strong enough. We're not disciplined enough. We're not passionate enough. We are not invested enough to care that much. And that makes us feel bad about ourselves. So we get mad at him instead of being like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, I was wondering how I would react to all of this if I was Tom Brady, if I was the guy who was doing all the things that has now been described as basically defiance of mortality. And I would be so much more obnoxious about this. Nobody would be able to tell me anything. Tom Brady is gently coming out here, basically year after year, suggesting that, you know, maybe I'll do this. Maybe. No, I would be out here declaring myself immortal. Like, I am not like the rest of you. I am getting so high off my supply of like immunity supplements or whatever it is that he questionably sells on his website, to the point where it's kind of amazing when you think about it, right? Because Tom Brady is basically saying every year the same thing. I'm probably going to play to my mid-40s, but the rest of our business sort of reacts as if this is like this wildly controversial take. This is just Tom Brady gently playing the hits. Like, if Bruce Springsteen came out and played Born to Run, he would not lead the A block of First Take. But that is basically what happens every time Tom Brady says the thing he's been doing and saying he would do for the last 5 years.
Oh, it's actually true. I think the only difference this year is that it was on a Zoom call and that he looks 25 years old. But he's been saying the same thing for several years. And somehow he's been saying it every year during Super Bowl week.
Well, and Izzy, part of that too is they have a soft focus filter on Zoom. Pablo and I have actually been meaning to tell you about it. It doesn't look like you figured that out yet. There's like a little thing that you click and it makes you look better on the Zoom.
You have got to be kidding me. You have got to be. I mean, seriously, the most self-conscious one of the most. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Izzy about to pull a cord and his shirt's going to fly off.
Those are snaps.
Well, I mean, they are.
Oh my God! I was joking!
Do you buy TJ Lang's comments that Aaron Rodgers is hell-bent on revenge against the Packers?
A fitting story for Groundhog's Day, because I'm pretty sure you can go back a couple shows ago and give our exact same comments, and it will be just fine here in this segment. But Aaron Rodgers' ex-teammate, TJ Lang, said Well, frankly, he said what a lot of us have been thinking this whole time. He said Aaron Rodgers was upset that they drafted Jordan Love in the first round as a quarterback instead of getting him a skilled position player. He said Aaron Rodgers wants to make the Packers pay. He wants to force his way to the front office and say, I want these players. Let my opinion be heard. And I don't know about you guys, but what I love about these types of stories are when you are told by people in the know that you were right all along. It makes me feel great. It makes me feel like Aaron Rodgers is going, you know, to visit the Dalai Lama and got this spiritual enlightenment when really, really at the core is what we all know about Aaron Rodgers. He wants to win. He wants to show off. He wants to be compared to Tom Brady, and he wants to retire on his terms. And so here's TJ Lang telling you what we've already known. So yeah, Groundhog's Day. We believe Aaron Rodgers will stay in Green Bay. He will make them pay. But of course, he wants say in the situation. Will he get it? I don't know. But if at this point, if you're the Green Bay Packers, you have to say this has to be the line in the sand. This has to be the point where we give him a lot more freedom to decide things for us, because otherwise we're probably going to lose him.
You see, my favorite part of this story is just the phrase TJ Lang used, because Aaron Rodgers is hell-bent on revenge. Yo, now that is how you make a headline, my friend. That is the like title of a Nicolas Cage movie. I hope we can Photoshop a movie poster with Aaron Rodgers as Nicolas Cage in some sort of movie there. But the other thing about this story is that Aaron Rodgers, like, I'm still trying to get my mind around what he really is. And I've recently decided that he is a weird dude, right? Like, we heard Seneca Wallace talk about how Aaron Rodgers once stopped him during like a practice and pointed to the sky and asked him about chemtrails. So Aaron Rodgers may be having some parts of his brain eaten by the internet, but at the same time, he is not like an actual revolutionary inside of this organization. He is remarkably well-behaved for someone who is apparently hell-bent on anything. He has not held out games. He has not made a public big stink. He is obviously frustrated for all the reasons you said, Izzy, and I understand that part, but he's been a great citizen for like 10 years. And for 10 years, you're right, he has not had that all-in kind of help from his GM in his front office, which the guy does deserve.
Yeah, and as we see the sports world start to prove over and over again that the only way to truly get what you want in a system that gives the power to ownership and front office folks is to be disruptive, is to be the person that's not a good citizen. We saw it with James Harden. We saw it in the first half of the Wizards game the other night where Bradley Beal was like, what if I just stand here for the whole half? Will that get me traded? And unfortunately, we want to criticize athletes for pulling those tricks, but we also can look at Aaron Rodgers as the perfect example of, even if you keep asking, and even if every story keeps being written about this, nothing will change if you don't make them change for you. And the problem is, we're trying to somehow reconcile the desires of owners and front offices, which are very often just to keep making money. And if you're the Packers in this division, you are making plenty of money because you are beaten up on the Lions and the Vikings and the Bears. And even if it doesn't amount to Super Bowls, you can say from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, we had a lot of success. Even if that success looks paltry, if you only end up with two Super Bowls with those two quarterbacks. So that's the problem. Aaron Rodgers' legacy and what he wants as a winner is defined only within the terms of those who are making the team around him. And thus far, those things haven't matched up. But the funniest part about this is the idea of us thinking of sports as a sort of marriage between a player and his team. And the idea that anyone would be hell-bent on revenge for their spouse is very scary. Like, somebody who wronged you, the person who killed your dog and your whole family, maybe even the opposing team, but your own team? How are you going to be hell-bent on revenge and then exact it against the team that you have to win with?
But that's the amazing part about doing this in the NFL context, Sarah, is because the Packers can actually argue, wait a minute, this is a positive for us. We meant to hell-bend Aaron Rodgers because a hell-bended Aaron Rodgers is more motivated than he ever has been. Look where we got this past year while doing literally none of the things he wanted. This is actually how to get the most out of the guy that hates you even while he is still very much married to you.
Would Kirk Cousins make a difference for the 49ers?
Before we get to Kirk Cousins for a second, I want to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo here, okay? Because if we go back and think about, you know, the Patriots, right? And we've already discussed, we've established Brady is the reason for the Patriots' success. Shout out Danny Amendola. And looking back, the Jimmy Garoppolo story kind of confirms that, right? Because here was Bill Belichick grooming this man, and he honestly wanted him to follow Tom Brady. And then because he couldn't do that, puts him in a place, in a soft landing place in San Francisco, where presumably he could thrive and be the best version of himself he can be. He got to a Super Bowl, yes, but now look at him. He's in a position because of his contract where he is essentially a free agent to the 49ers. He does not mean much more to them than any of the other available quarterbacks. And the person that they're considering bringing in to replace him is Kirk Cousins. Man, life comes at you fast, Jimmy Garoppolo. Things were way different a year ago.
Yeah, this is sort of like in the movie where there are certain scenes where they don't need the actual star to show up. So they put the kind of stunt double person with the same head of hair from the back in. And then most of the angles, you can't tell the difference. That's kind of how I feel about Cousins and Garoppolo here. Like, if you want to make a change just to make a change, go for it. I don't know how much of an upgrade it is. Now, the connection between Shanahan and Cousins is certainly promising, and maybe just a new place and some new stuff makes you feel like you're making an accomplishment. You're moving forward. To me, the Vikings don't want to get rid of Cousins unless they have a really sure idea of who's going to replace him. So it's safer to keep him without taking a massive step back. Meanwhile, the 49ers, to Izzy's point, are sort of much more open, right? Because to them, Jimmy Garoppolo can be replaced without it being a massive loss. It could be a gain. Like, they have a little bit more experimentation. I don't see Cousins leaving because I don't think the Vikings have a plan. And even if he did leave, I don't think he's that much of an upgrade.
Well, for the Niners, I mean, the thing they have to contemplate is the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo has missed 23 games, I believe, over the last 3 years. So he's just not available enough to be the guy who can sort of manage your team to another Super Bowl. But to go back to the whole, like, relationship context that we're evaluating all of these stories through at this point, there is just so much I can fix him in the NFL. Like, we're seeing that with McVay and Stafford. Like, no, I can fix him. He will be an elite quarterback with me. And this is Kyle Shanahan's, like, white whale. This is the guy that he's always thought, in my system, when I once had him in Washington, we can make magical things happen with Kirk Cousins. And meanwhile, if you're like Kyle Shanahan's friend, you got to point out, dude, you're going to pay this guy $56 million guaranteed over the next 2 years. You're going to make Kirk Cousins the centerpiece of your franchise. When you're with Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, look at Jimmy G. No, literally just look at him, and you're going to dump him for Kirk Cousins. Really, you're going to do that.
We're talking about football, Pablo. We're talking about football.
Well, this honestly brings up the obvious follow-up question, which, take your time answering this one because it's probably going to take a while. Is Kirk Cousins good?
Up next on HQ.
Pablo, do you remember how Dwayne Wade celebrated after hitting a big shot and turning toward purple shirt guy?
No, what did he do? I forget that part.
Do you question if LeBron really didn't think these fans deserved to be ejected?
All right, I woke up this morning shocked to read this story. One, it was about Atlanta Hawks fans, which right now, I believe for the last 20 years, has been the biggest oxymoron in the NBA. Secondly, it said courtside fan. What that now? Why are the fans courtside? And I know the Atlanta Hawks are doing like a 10% capacity thing and trying to slowly build, but why courtside just yet? But anyway. The third part about that, it was LeBron. So, of course, LeBron James, in the first game with courtside fans in forever, is going to get into an altercation with fans. Here's what. It's already uncomfortable. It's already too close for comfort right here. Already too close for comfort.
Out of the building. The entire game stopped for this. Like, a game was happening. Now it is no longer happening. Because she is flipping her ponytail. All sorts of directions.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reports as to what was said there, but after the game, LeBron James had this to say about the interaction.
No, at the end of the day, I'm happy fans are back in the building. I miss that interaction. I need that interaction. We as players need that interaction. I don't feel like they was warranted to be kicked out. There was a back and forth between two grown men. And we said our piece, he said his piece, I said my piece. And then when someone else jumped into it and said their piece. But I didn't think they were, you know, should have been kicked out. But they might have had a couple of drinks maybe, and they could have probably kept it going, and the game wouldn't have been about the game no more. So I think the referees did what they had to do.
A discussion between two grown men that included the phrase old steroid going in one direction or the other. I don't believe that's the type of interaction LeBron James needs. But anyway, he finalized the three-part story here with this tweet at the end of the night. That's right. Courtside Karen was mad, mad. And I don't know what I expected from the first Courtside fans, but Courtside Karen, her official nickname now for the till the end of time, is exactly what I thought would be there at that, just all decked out and showing off and, frankly, not wearing a mask and yelling at LeBron James. Seems about right.
Nobody needs those interactions. You can absolutely miss the fans and not say that's the kind of interaction we need. I'm so sorry, but absolutely nobody needs that. Nobody.
So hold on, though, because I understand, yes, masks should have been on. That aside, though, I kind of miss NBA players going back and forth with rich maniacs at games. Like, it does remind me of a more innocent time. Remember that guy who was, like, yelling at, I think, Dwayne Wade in Charlotte? He had a weird purple backpack on.
I miss purple shirt guy. Pablo, do you remember how Dwayne Wade celebrated after hitting a big shot and turning toward purple shirt guy?
No, what did he do? I forget that part.
That's exactly what he did. He gave you the Superman. End of segment.
Twice in one show.
Man, I have a. By the way, we deserve this. You set the line at two, Sarah. I'm going to take the over.
Do you question if Gronk is smarter than we give him credit for?
No. And if at any given point you thought you were outsmarted by Rob Gronkowski, you should check into your own IQ level. But Rob Gronkowski, as one of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers during the offseason, or during OTAs rather, had to do virtual workouts. Rob, even though he was skinny at the time and probably wasn't carrying a lot of weight, wasn't as much of a fan of these workouts. So here's what he did.
Oh, I tricked him. I tricked him a few times. I would bring my shirt out, and then I would bring another shirt out. So when I'm running the sprints, I would film myself like 15 times for that session, that workout session. But I would run it in a couple different shirts because you only had to send in like two or three reps. So then when the next time came, I didn't have to film myself because I already filmed myself running in a different shirt every time on that one day. And he hasn't had a clue to this day that I was tricking him about half the time during those virtual workouts.
This man never disappoints, guys. He never disappoints.
First of all, he is smarter than we give him credit for. This is the guy who's never, at least as of a couple years ago, spent a single dollar of his Patriots paycheck. He only spends his endorsements. He banks the rest. But also, imagine Tom Brady watching this. Tom Brady hasn't eaten a strawberry for decades. No sugar, no flour, no coffee. He sleeps in a hyperbaric chamber. And Gronk's like, wind sprints? No, that's too much. That's too much work. I'm not that invested in football.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the premise of the question, like, is he smarter than we think? I mean, yes, insofar as the bar was not quite so high. But honestly, it is kind of disorienting, right? If you were to run across Rob Gronkowski in the summer and you're like, you're wearing a shirt. Yeah, that would be disorienting. That would be very confusing.
Tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Clippers and Nets.
Well, of course, everybody's interested in the Nets these days. The other day, they lost that heartbreaking game against the Wizards where Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, it's still hard to say, hit back-to-back threes in the closing seconds. Here was Kyrie's assessment of his defense in that game.
I couldn't guard a stick today. You know, those guys were just going right around me, and, you know, I was getting frustrated a little bit, but they kept attacking, and that's what good teams do and good scorers do, so.
You know what? I actually still like Bradley Beal's take earlier in the year where he said his team couldn't guard a parked car. How about you, Pablo? You intrigued by this one?
I am intrigued. The Nets are the only team in the bottom 10 of defensive efficiency. This is a real NBA take I'm about to give you, by the way. They're the only team in the bottom 10 defensive efficiency who is positive in net rating. And so, yeah, this is a real problem for the Brooklyn Nets. I just appreciate now that Bradley Beal's nickname is the Stick.
That's also true, Pablo, that they could end up being the best offensive team ever and the worst defensive team ever in the same season. Does that intrigue you, Sarah?
See, very intrigued. I'm also intrigued by the analogy. Like, why a stick? A stick, like, does it have, like, appendages that would be shooting? Like, how would the stick score on you?
You know what?
Do they,
now that I think
about
this,
use its top of its stick head?
It's not that much of an insult because is Groot not a stick? Because yeah. Groot would kick Kyrie's behind.
Wow. I'm looking for a segue that gets us to Izzy ripping off his shirt again. There it is. Yay.
That's all the time we have for today. You can catch Pablo Torre on ESPN Daily. And you can catch Sarah Spain daily on Spain and Fitz, along with her podcast, That's What She Said.
And you can catch Izzy on the remix to the remix to the remix of Old Town Road.
Yeehaw.